We'll pray, and then we'll preach God's word and worship. Father, we pray that the holy word of God will be our rule, and we ask now that special, wonderful, surprising anointing of the Holy Spirit to be our guide, and we don't kid around. God, we need the Holy Spirit to awaken, quicken, enliven, and create within us the capacity to savor the wonder of it all, so that we truly live in the love of God on Valentine's Day and every day of the year, for that matter. In Christ we pray, amen. So, there are many verses in the Bible that have been chosen by some great man or woman or person as, of course, a favorite text. John Wesley often said that his favorite text was Zechariah 3:2. Is this not a brand plucked out of the fire? It was his life. David Livingston referred to the last words of Matthew 28:20 as his favorite. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. John Newton, author of The Amazing Grace and creator of the cookie, the Fig Newton. Couldn't resist that one, could I? Not on a Valentine's Day, anyway. Speaking of Valentine's Day, you understand why the skeleton, why didn't the skeleton send down a Valentine? He didn't have the heart. Well, that plays in, because we want to have a heart for this great text today. But getting back to what I was saying before I got silly here, Martin Luther's favorite Bible verse was Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. And Queen Elizabeth I, when she ascended to the throne, her verse was Psalm 118:23. Is this not what the Lord has done, and is it not marvelous in our eyes? Which is a wonderful verse too. And each of those verses that I've cited or quoted have spoken to some man or woman at some time in their condition, and they've been great texts from the Bible. But the verse we have today to focus upon on Valentine's Day to help us live in the love of God is every man's verse. It's every woman's verse. It's the verse that they first publish when they write the Bible in a foreign language or in a new land. It is the one that we own and we love and we know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. This is the one that's written in textbooks. This is the one that's written on buildings. This is a great and wonderful verse for a Valentine's Day. And of course, we thank God that he's given us the authoritative word of God, because it tells us and tells you that the wonder of it all is to think that God loves me. That God loves me. I know I'm saying that me, but I want you to say it in the sense of you saying it. God loves me. That's a wonder, an amazing gift. And Karl Barth, the great theologian, the Swiss theologian, who was noted for writing these big, thick, white tombs called Kirchliche Dogmatik, which was systematic theology. They were so white and thick and heavy that they called them white elephants, which I think is a great term for them. But he was a brilliant man, right? And he came and he visited our country many, many years ago. And as he was going around from place to place, Princeton, New Jersey, wound up in Chicago, and they would gather around him and listen to his august pronouncements about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. And lo and behold, one person with a typical American question said, "Dr. Barth, what is the most fascinating, intelligent, and deep thought, the deepest thought you've ever had that has passed your mind as a biblical theologian?" And Karl Barth stopped at that point, and he dropped his head, and he waited quite a while. And then after a period of time, which obviously bespoke his deep consternation, he lifted his eyes, and he said, "The most deep, profound thought that I've ever had in my mind is this: Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so." And he said it with simplicity, he said it with sincerity and childlike faith, that Jesus loves you. This you know, for the Bible tells you so. And we are to savor the wonder of that. That is the truth for Christians that permeates all the ages of our lives and all the ages of our time, and it's discovered in the person of Jesus Christ in the Bible, and we realize it. And I want us to savor it today on a Valentine's Day, because I think it's good to look at God's love on a Valentine's Day. I want to begin by reviewing some parallel verses under the first point of my presentation of John 3:16 to you, which is to say, number one, savor the wonder of this truth that God's love for you is great. Almost like Tony the Tiger. It's great. And at Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, these are the verses about which the Apostle Paul speaks so magnificently of God's love for you. He says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love with which he loved us, oh, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." That tells you that God's love is great. And you can't help but when you hear this, think and reflect on how we use the word great. We use it in various capacities. This past week, I thought, in reading about the prospect of the draft coming up for the football NFL, that Trevor Lawrence is a great quarterback from Clemson. And I couldn't help but think that I had a couple great meals this week. And I couldn't help but think of Roslyn Presbyterian Church. This is a great church. We have great love and compassion for each other. And I couldn't help but think also that I have had yesterday great Persian cinnamon rolls from Clay Ellen Bakery. And to get over the past yesterday, I had a great car to ride in and drive in with my beloved wife, you know? And I use those terms honestly, and I mean those terms, and you do too when you say them, but none of those things, when looked at from our viewpoint, even begin to measure up with what God means when he says, the great love with which he loved us. What is the height and the breadth and the depth and the length? That great, great, magnificent love, it makes it seem that God is the master of understatement. I mean, when he tells you that his love is great for you, he is telling you that it is so great that it goes beyond your possibilities of conceptions of greatness. It just is. It can be known, but in terms of its depth, it's incomprehensible. Does that make sense? It means you can know it approximately, but it is great, and we are to revel and savor and live in the greatness of God's love for each of us through Jesus Christ. Did you know that John chapter 3, verse 16 was the verse through which the American evangelist Dwight L. Moody came to know the love of God? It's interesting because he was in Great Britain for a while. His church was in Chicago, but he went to Britain and he met a young preacher named Morehouse there, Henry Morehouse, and they talked together, and Henry Morehouse said to him, "I'd like to come to America someday." And of course, out of politeness, this pastor, Moody said, "Well, if you come, I'll have you preach at my church." And Moody didn't exactly mean it. He wasn't being hypocritical. He was being gracious and polite. Well, lo and behold, he gets back in Chicago, and he gets a telegram, and it's from Morehouse, and it says, "Just arrived in New York City. We'll be in Chicago coming this Sunday." And Moody didn't know what to do because it was one of those situations where he had been polite, and here he was faced with it, and what complicated it more is he was going out of town for a series of a week meetings, and no one was going to be in his pulpit on Sunday, and he didn't know whether this guy was a good preacher or not, but he said to his wife and said to the leaders of the church, "I'll tell you what, I don't know what to do. Let's put him in the pulpit, and if he does all right, bring him back again." And so lo and behold, he goes away. He comes back after the week, and he says to his wife, "Hey, how did the young preacher Morehouse do?" And the wife said, "Oh, he did wonderful. He's a better preacher than you." And he said, "What do you mean?" And she said, "Well, he's telling the people that God loves him, that God loves sinners. And Moody said, "Well, that's not right. God doesn't love sinners." And she said, "Well, then you go and hear him." He said, "What do you mean I go and hear him? Is he still preaching? She said, yes, he's still preaching in the church. And he's had one text, John 3:16, all week long. So Moody went that night to hear Morehouse preach, and Morehouse stood up, and he said, you know, I've been searching for a Bible text all week long, but I can't find a better text than what the Lord has laid on my heart, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved the world, and he went on to proclaim God's love, and Moody tells it. That it was in that night, in that preaching on John 3:16, that he himself came to know finally the gospel truth and what was the greatness of the love of God for him. And we savor that. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, that's the faithfulness of God's love upon you and to you. So that's point number one. And point number two is simply this. Savor the wonder of it all. Live in the love of God on Valentine's Day because God's love for you is infinite. Let that wash over you. It's an infinite, limitless love of God. That's what Paul means when he writes in the third chapter of Ephesians, another parallel passage, and he prays for the Christians. That's a prayer for us from the heart of the Holy Spirit, that we, quote, may have strength to comprehend with all the Christians what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a mouthful that is. The love of God that surpasses knowledge. That's the infinite nature of God's love for you. How can we comprehend the infinite love of God? Height, breadth, depth, width. We can know it, but only in part. We have been touched by God's love, and we have been bathed in part by that love. Yet the fullness of such love, the infinite scope and extent, forever is beyond our reach. Even when we get to heaven, we'll know God without sin, but he will be infinite and we'll be finite. And Jonathan Edwards speaks of an infinite celerity and increasing speed over eternity when we come to know more and more the love of infinite God for us, but God is ever there and we're ever going higher and higher. Isn't that marvelous to contemplate, to think? Well, God's love simply for you is boundless and unfathomable. I know some of us may have grown up, our mama didn't love us or our papa didn't love us, and that's a profound impact. Our sister didn't love us, our brother, maybe whatever. But this today is the word of God. You are loved right now with an infinite love by God. And we sang it in that hymn, didn't we? It's a seldom sung hymn, and you did great on it, and I loved it. The love of God is greater far than tongue can ever tell. The love of God goes beyond the highest star. It reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and rescued from his sin. And then this one, this verse was added by a man in an asylum, and it was found written on the wall. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? In other words, all the skies are pieces of paper. Were every stalk of corn on earth a quill, you know, for a pen, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll of the sky contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure your Christians' songs and the angels' songs. But that's the infinite love of God for you. And that's living in the love of God. That's savoring the wonder of it all on Valentine's Day. I do not want to forget that. I'm so happy with you to get in church, but I'm so sad sometimes midweek. I've forgotten what we've experienced together, but this love of God, take it with you. And third, you know, that's our soul's song, that God's love is infinite. Yes, and truly it is, But now, thirdly, we come to the fact that it's not only great, not only infinite, but it's a giving love. God's love is a giving love. And we heard that in John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave. Which one of us on Valentine's Day don't want to give something? And thank you for whoever gave all the chocolate. Susie brought chocolate and others brought cookies. And somebody gave me a napkin so that I wouldn't be out of color today. And I know this looks like a very expensive handkerchief, but actually it's a napkin. I've gone all out today. All right, so John 3:16. So you should ask yourself this morning, how much does God love me? Go ahead and ask yourself that. Then you should answer, and you should know that God loves you so much that he gave his only begotten Son. The eternality of the fellowship and the union of joyous love and communion, Jesus in the state of humiliation takes on the person of humanity as a gift to turn away the wrath of God by the propitiation or the offering of his own life as atonement for your sins. Please do not miss the great lesson there is in this statement of God's giving love. Do you know that there is hardly a verse in the New Testament that in speaking of God's love does not also speak in the immediate context and sometimes within a verse or two of a few words even, of the cross of Jesus Christ. Love of God for you, cross of Jesus Christ, the giving love of God. How do we know that God loves us? Is it because we are able to love one another a little bit? I like that. Is it because the world is beautiful? Is it because we value love? Well, no, not really. You know that God loves you because he has given you his only begotten, his unique Son, Jesus Christ. R.C. Sproul Jr. lost his wife early on in their marriage after six kids, I think. Four or six. I've lost track. Maybe he lost track too. Sorry. But he lost his wife to cancer. And they asked him, what do you make out of God allowing that to happen? He said, I don't know why that happened. But I know one thing, there's no question in my mind or heart or life whether or not God loves me, because he gave his only Son at the cross to die for my sins, and my wife is in the tribunals of eternity in the arms of God right now. So we see that, and we know that in the face of the selfless, self-sacrificing Jesus Christ, you learn of God's character as giving to you. Christian, God loves you. He gave. Oh, the wonder of it all. God loves you. Oh, Christian man, oh, Christian woman. And he has demonstrated that love by giving Jesus Christ for you in love, no matter what your shape, your size, your age, your gender, your nationality, or your color. And finally, God loves us so much. God loves us so much that it's a great love. It's an infinite love. It's a giving love. But check this out. It is an unchangeable love. And here I wanna try to get through for you the story of Hosea and Gomer. Because Hosea and Gomer, as you well know, was to be a pageant. God tells Hosea, you're going to be God. And he tells Hosea, your wife Gomer is going to be my people Israel. And which is, again, us in the new Israel. Galatians speaks of our becoming the new Israel. We are the Israel. That just says flatly in chapter 5. So that means that this is applicable to you and me. And do you recall that story? I want to run it by. I want to run through it because Hosea was a preacher. And God says to him, Hosea, I want you to marry a woman who is going to prove unfaithful to you, and she's going to be an adulteress to you, and you're going to have some kids. And by the way, we're going to name the kids Jezreel, because I'm going to scatter my people, and you're going to name the other child, the daughter, Lo-Ruhamah, because that means not given mercy, because I'm not going to give my people mercy, and you're going to name the third son Lo-Ami, because that means not my people, because you're not going to be there, Israel's not going to be my people anymore. And if it ended there, It would be a sad story and a contradiction of God's unchanging love for you as his child in Jesus Christ adopted. But it doesn't end there, and the story goes on, and God says in the word of the prophet Isaiah, I'm going to change the names of those children one day. I'm going to change Jezreel to Jezreel. It's just a nuance of Hebrew pronunciation, which means instead of scattered, it means planted. And that's the word that one-year word was used for both concepts. And God says, I'm gonna take the matter of Lo Ruhamah and name them Ruhamah. And I'm gonna take Lo Ami and name them Ami, because I'm gonna change it all. I'm gonna give mercy and I'm gonna make them my people. And Hosea 1:10 reads, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, as you are the children of the living God. And that's who you are because of the love of God. And the time came, check this out, in the marriage when the events which God had foretold happened. Gomer, the wife, looked around and caught the eye of a stranger, another guy. And before long, she had left with him, and Hosea, the husband, was left alone. Well, well, well. You know, the life of a woman like that often goes downhill. And if she left Hosea for the company of a man who could give her a Cadillac in a fur coat one year, is equally certain that the following year she's with a lover now who had grown tired of her, and so now she's with another man who could only give her a fur-lined collar and an Oldsmobile. And another year passes and she's no longer with him, and she's with someone who has her in fake fur, and now she's driving a jalopy. And the year after that, she's pulling something out of the garbage heap trying to eat. That's exactly what happened. And God tells Hosea to go and buy groceries and food and shelter and clothing for Hosea as she's with another man. And he gives this stuff to this man she's with, and she doesn't even know it's coming from him. Hosea chapter 2, 5, 8, for their mother, this is the word of God. This is in Scripture. I'm not using a vile profanity here. This is the word, and it's there for a reason. For their mother has played the whore. She who conceived them has acted shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers. Remember, she's representing Israel. Who give me my bread, I'll go after my lovers. Who give me my water, my wool, and my flax, my oil, and my drink. For she did not know that it was I, the Lord God, okay, who gave her the grain, the wine, the oil, and who lavished on her silver and gold. And you may well ask at this point, does God love me like that? Which one of us hasn't run in some way away from God, in some aspect, attitude, behavior? Yes, 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 God loves you that way with unchangeable love that will not let you go. You are in Jesus, and nothing will stop that love of God. Well, what happened? Well, you know, I mean, people do run away, you know, in Jesus Christ, in a sense. What happened when I ran away, or you? God pays our bills. We run away, and we realize that we should realize that who is the one that gave us the strength to run away? And here is a girl who says, I don't care if God's calling me into the mission work or the Christian ministry. I'm going to turn away and marry a young man. And God says, who gave you the good looks that the young man wants to marry you? And another person says, I want to be famous. So he goes to New York, writes a novel, gets it picked up by movie rights, and he becomes wealthy. And God says to him, who gave you the intelligence in the first place to write the book? Did not I, the Lord God Almighty? We cannot run away from God's love successfully. He sets it upon us in Jesus Christ. Well, let me go on, because the final act was approaching in the book of Hosea, and it's a tough one. The time came when Gomer sank so low that she was sold as a slave in the city of Jerusalem. And God told Hosea to go and buy her. And slaves were always sold naked. And when a good-looking woman came up, clothes were taken off of her, the bidding of the men would go high. Somebody bids 3 pieces of silver for Gomer. another 5, another 10, another 12, another 13. And the low bidders have dropped out now. And someone from the back says, 15 pieces of silver. And that's Hosea. And someone further back says, 15 pieces of silver and a bushel of barley. And the auctioneer is up there. And Hosea says, 15 pieces of silver and a bushel and a half of barley. And the auctioneer looks around, and there's nobody making any more noise about bidding up further. And so he declares, this slave Gomer is sold to Hosea for 15 pieces of silver and a bushel and a half of barley. And so Hosea took his wife, whom he now owned, and he put her clothes on her and led her away into the anonymity of the crowd. Oh, the wonder of it all, an unchangeable love of Jesus Christ for us. And you ask, is that a true picture of God's love for me? And the answer is absolutely yes, it is. Christian, on Valentine's Day and every day of the year, that is how God loves you. Listen to what the Bible says about it. Hosea 3, 1 through 3, the word of God written. Then the Lord said to me, to Hosea, go again, love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn away to other gods. So I bought her for 15 pieces of silver and an omer of barley and a half omer of barley. And I said to her, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man, and so will I also be to you. Well, there's the greatness. There's the infinite. There's the giving. There's the unchanging love of Almighty God. God loves you that way. God loves me that way. And oh, what a wonder just to think that God loves me. We are the naked slave sold under the bondage of sin. We are the ones placed on the world's auction block of bidding. And the bidding goes of the world, and it gets higher and higher for us. And what am I bid for this person's soul? And at this point, Jesus Christ, the faithful Hosea bridegroom, enters the slave market of your sin and mine and bids the price of his blood. Sold to Jesus Christ for the price of his blood, says Almighty God the Father about the sacrifice of his Son on the cross, and says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That's God's love. And God says to us, as we are led away to himself, you must dwell as mine for many days. You shall not play the whore or belong to another man. So I will also be to you, your Lord, your Savior, your prophet, your priest, your king, and your Valentine. Let's pray. Gracious God, we sometimes have not grasped this love. And today we want to realize anew, afresh, that Jesus Christ loves us this way, and that you still love us on this Valentine's Day this way. And Holy Spirit, quicken, anoint us so that our souls say, oh, the wonder of it all, to be touched with such a love. And we know this is to throw ourselves at the feet of Christ in holy adoration and marvel that you could ever have given such a great, infinite, unchanging love, giving love. Thank you. Thank you for commending your love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.